The foundation of coaching. That's today's topic, although it wasn't what I had planned. This episode was scheduled to be about coaching fundamentals, but as I began working on the first part of the show, I realized the foundation needed more than a couple lines. So once again, we will be talking about relationships on this show. Why? Because relationships are the vehicle that allows us to grow people. And if people are our purpose, relationships are the path to that purpose. And now I'll give away the entire show. If you only take one thing away, coaching without relationships isn't coaching. It's telling. If you genuinely want to coach teachers, you must invest in building relationships. Hello, colleagues, and welcome to the Assistant Principal Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Frederick Buskey. We're all on a leadership journey. Every day, we have a chance to grow. Every day, we have a chance to help others grow. My goal and the goal of this podcast is to help you grow into being a strategic leader, a leader who puts people before purpose, who solves problems instead of treating symptoms, and who understands the difference between progress and action. Through this podcast, my daily email, and virtual programs, I'm working to build a network of inspired and inspiring school leaders. Let's get started on today's adventure and this unique opportunity to learn to live and lead better. When I have guests on, I always start the show with two questions. The first of those is, what are you celebrating? And so today, I'm celebrating exuberance. If you read my daily email, then you know I'm a fan of one word. One word is kind of a mantra that you can repeat to yourself. You take one word that captures what you need to be focused on or what you need to be mindful of in your leadership. My one word from the fall and into the winter was grace, and that's giving grace to others, giving grace to myself, which is sometimes the hardest part of it, and then moving gracefully through a world that often feels chaotic. But a couple weeks ago, I changed words, and my new word is exuberant. And here's the background. And I'm explaining all this because I think it's worth us thinking about in this world at this time. I've always been a super optimistic person. I look out and I see a world of possibilities and a world of opportunities. And I have been privileged throughout my educational career to work with really passionate, compassionate, incredible human beings. But I have found it much more difficult to hang on to that optimism and to be excited about opportunity and to be excited about this world really since 2020. And again, I share this because I think a lot of you are probably in a similar situation. And it's almost gotten to the point where if I'm having a good day and things are really going great and I'm excited, sometimes I kind of feel guilty about that because I know there's so much suffering and so much heaviness in this world. And I don't think we know where we're headed, where things are going in this country with elections and democracy and all of that. And then, you know, the stuff that's going on outside of our country. It's a scary time. It's a chaotic time. But I realized I was spending too much time in that darkness. And I don't want to be unrealistic, right? There are a lot of challenges facing us right now. And public education is, yeah, I just don't need to go there. You're in it, you know, public education is in a really tough situation. But I realized for myself, I had a choice. I could live in that negativity and let that kind of slow me down and weigh me down. Or I could go back to my earlier self and I could continue to see the possibility and the opportunities in this world. And they are still there. It's a matter of what to focus on. So I'm not trying to discount the heaviness in the world, but I'm choosing to be exuberant. I'm choosing to see those opportunities and to move forward and be my best self working on that. So I'm celebrating that. I'm celebrating that I feel better. I feel more empowered. I feel like I'm moving up instead of just kind of slogging through. This podcast episode, as I said in the introduction, is about relationships and about the foundation of coaching. It's not about one word, but I guess I invite you to sit with this for just a few seconds and think about what is one word that would help you right now. The other question that I ask people is to tell them what is the story that led you to this place. And I'm going to tell a very specific recent story that brought me to the point where I realized this episode needs to be about the foundation of coaching, not the fundamentals of coaching. So a couple weeks ago, I was working in my Now and Next cohort. Now and Next is a leadership program that I've developed in partnership with the Nantahala Health Foundation, where we developed a specific leadership model for how nonprofit governmental leaders can work together in Western North Carolina, because leading here is different than leading in a lot of other places. And we face a lot of challenges, and we know that building the capacity of individual leaders, future leaders and present leaders, and then increasing the connectivity between those leaders is going to be critical for our regional success. So we call that program Now and Next. We take cohorts of 10 to 12 leaders and run them through a 6-week program. And in our final meeting for cohort 4, we did some coaching rounds so that every person did some coaching, every person was coached, and every person observed the coaching and then led a discussion about that coaching. When we finished, brought the whole group together and said, you know, how was that? What was that like? And people really enjoyed it. And one of the people volunteered and she said, I felt safe. And I know I had a relationship with this person through this program and I trusted them. And so this was really easy to be coached. And I sat with that for a minute and I realized, I think consciously for the first time, how incredibly important relationships are when we're trying to coach somebody. Because if there isn't a relationship, then there probably isn't trust and there probably isn't safety. And if I don't feel safe with you and I don't trust you, why would I engage in the coaching that you may be offering? And I think this is a real problem for administrators that are super busy, that don't have time or haven't prioritized time to build relationships with people, but think, oh, I can help this teacher grow, I can support them. But if you don't have that relationship, you go in and you try to coach and you're meeting with resistance. And that resistance isn't about you. That resistance is about you have not laid the foundation for a coaching relationship. So what does that actually mean, the foundation for a coaching relationship? We can think of our relationships with teachers as having two axes. So one is the personal relationship with them as a human being, and the other is the professional relationship with them as a teacher. And the strengths of either of those or both of those two forms of relationships determines the kind of influence that I can have on the teacher. As I alluded to earlier, if I don't have any relationship, I don't have that human connection, I don't have the professional connection, then I can't coach. I can tell people what to do, and then they're going to choose whether or not to do it, or they may conform if I have that power, but I'm just telling, I'm just bossing. I can't actually coach people. Now, if I have that personal relationship, but not the professional relationship, that is, we're friends and I know all about their families and we can interact at that level, but we don't have those deep teaching conversations, I can coach them But really the only kind of coaching I can really access is that reflective coaching. So I can let them lead the coaching conversation. I can ask good questions and they can grow from that because we have that personal relationship and they trust me at that level. If I have that professional relationship, that is as a principal or assistant principal and as a teacher, but I don't have the personal relationship, then there's going to be a certain lack of trust. Now, if I built good leadership credibility, there's going to be a certain level of safety and a certain level of trust, but it's going to be limited. And so the kind of coaching that I can really do is directive coaching. And that means that I lead and I focus very specifically on technique, on how to do something. So it's a very nuts and bolts, intentional ground level of coaching. And that can work if I don't have that personal relationship. But if I have both the personal and professional relationship, then I can do collaborative coaching. And that is where the teacher and I are working together, where sometimes the teacher leads the discussion. Maybe they're outlining the challenge that they're having. I can ask questions and support them and help them take different perspectives. But sometimes I lead that discussion. And so I can take it in a way of, well, have you thought about, let's explore this area. That collaborative coaching is the best form of coaching for a majority of the teachers you work with. And here's why that's critical. We can think about the teachers in our school in three basic groups. And of course, anytime we do that, we're needing to be careful about pigeonholing people. But for purposes of being able to take action, we want to simplify a framework. We can think about our teachers in three different groups. So that first group is the high flyers. These are the people that they're killing it. A lot of times we think they may not need us or we can't help them grow, but these are actually the people that can really profit from that reflective coaching. And again, that's the thing where they lead. All we're doing is asking questions and helping them reflect on their practice because they're skilled enough to have the answers themselves. Or if they don't have the answers, they're going to be the kinds of people that know where to get them and then that will specifically ask us for support in going to a conference or getting training or whatever. So those high flyers are one group and we can do reflective coaching with them. There's that other group of people that are really struggling, like they're drowning and they don't need our reflective coaching. They don't need collaborative coaching. They need directive coaching. They need that, here's how you can do this right now so that your life can get better, so that we can get you to shore and you're not drowning. And that's the teachers that are really struggling. And then you have that third group, and that's all the teachers in your building, hopefully the majority of them, that are good teachers, that have the potential to really be good teachers, and they're still growing. They have lots of room to grow and improve on, but they're not drowning. These are the teachers that can benefit most from collaborative coaching, where if you can establish a partnership where you're working with them side by side, you can help them grow in really critical and dynamic ways. But to have that collaborative coaching, there has to be the relationship because they have to feel safe and they have to trust you. So what does this mean for you? Bottom line, if you don't have time to build a relationship, then don't waste time trying to coach. Because without a relationship, you cannot collaboratively coach a teacher. You can direct them, and maybe you can do reflective coaching. But no relationship, no collaborative coaching. So how do you build relationships? Some of you listening are naturals at that, and you've built relationships with your teachers, and that's awesome. Don't tune out yet, but you're in good shape. Many others of you might be like me, and I'm someone that really has to be intentional about building relationships. I actually had to learn how to build relationships. So remember, we talked about two kinds of relationship, the personal and the professional. And here's a simple strategy for each one. You've probably heard me talk about these things before, but it's worth reiterating and bringing up again today. So the first thing, to build the personal relationship, the simplest, shortest, briefest thing that you can do is to ask the second question. Just get in the habit of doing this. Ask the second question. Remember, the second question comes after the first question. The first question is, how are you? To which the answer is almost always fine. Because when I ask, how are you, the first time, we both know that I'm not really asking how you are. I'm just saying, hello, this is my greeting. And then you answer fine, because that's the way you respond. It's like, please and thank you. How are you? I'm fine. But when I ask the same question a second time, and I say, no, really, how are you? Now I'm communicating that I actually really want to know, that I care. And then it's my job to just stop and listen. Because in listening, I create space for you to share how you really are. And as you share that, I get to know you. And as I listen, I begin to build trust. And when you can tell me how you really are, and you don't have to fear being judged because you know I care and I'm empathetic, now you feel safe with me. So that's the personal piece of it. Ask the second question and then listen to people. Don't chime in. Don't take over the conversation. Just listen. The second technique then for building the professional relationship is, I hope you guessed it, 5-minute coaching. So 5-minute coaching involves asking teachers 3 questions that help them reflect on their practice. When I create space for teachers to reflect on their practice, when I communicate to them that I want to listen and I want to hear how their teaching is going, that I really want to know without me jumping in and trying to tell them how to get better. It's just about them. Again, I'm building that relationship. I'm creating a safe space, or I'm communicating to teachers that talking about practice with me is safe, and I'm building that trust. 5-minute coaching, if you don't remember, has those 3 simple questions. What's going well? Is there anything that surprised you? Is there anything you'd do differently? So if I get to a teacher at the end of the day, I can simply say, hey, I know you had class on whatever subject today. Tell me what went well. And they'll tell you the positive things that happened in class. And then you ask that second question. Is there anything that surprised you? And watch them, because most people, when you ask that question, they will pause. And you'll see them move the position of their head down or up, and you'll watch them think. You can almost see the gears turning in their head. And this is a great question, because you've asked them to reflect on their lesson in a way that they probably have not reflected on their own. And then the third question is there anything that you would do differently? Now, I have a whole podcast somewhere on 5-minute coaching, so I'll try to put that into the show notes, and you can go look that up if you want more details on that. But doing that 5-minute coaching is a way to build trust, communicate to people that you're a safe person that they can reflect on their practice with. So when you've done those 2 things, you've asked the second question, you've engaged in 5-minute coaching, that's a very simple way to build relationships. Of course, there are all kinds of other strategies you can use, but I'm presenting this show on the premise that you're really busy and you don't have time to take your teachers out for coffee or spend time shooting the breeze. You don't have that kind of time. So what can you do that's really fast that you can build that relationship so that then you can move into coaching? And of course, I guess the caveat there is if you're doing 5-minute coaching, yes, of course, that's coaching. That's that reflective piece. So in summarizing, what I would encourage you to do with today's show is to implement something. Choose 1, 2, maybe 3 teachers, not more than 3, and be really intentional about targeting them with the second question and with 5-minute coaching. 2, maybe 3 times during the week, and do this for about 3 weeks and see what happens. 2 or 3 times a week. In the morning, catch them and say, hey, how are you? Really, how are you? And just listen to what they say. in an afternoon near the end of school maybe, or after lunch when they've had a couple classes, ask how the teaching's going, ask about a lesson. Tell me what went well. Was there anything that surprised you? Is there anything that you would do differently? Again, 1 to 3 teachers, do this for 2 to 3 weeks and see where you're at. And I am willing to bet dollars to donuts, as we used to say in Northwest Ohio, that you will have made progress in building a foundation upon which you can then build out coaching. Hopefully by the time you've built that foundation with your teachers, I will have been able to record the podcast that I originally set out to do today, which is all about kind of 4 styles of coaching: directive, reflective, collaborative, and transformative. So you have your homework, I have my homework, and I look forward to getting back together with you again soon when we can metaphorically compare notes and take our next steps together. And speaking of stepping together, leadership is a journey. Thank you for choosing to walk some of this magical path with me. You can find links to all sorts of stuff in the show notes, including my website, frederickbuskey.com. I love hearing from you, so please consider emailing me at frederick@frederickbuskey.com or connecting with me on LinkedIn. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It really does help other people find this show. Have a great rest of the week. Be present for others. And more importantly, take time to reflect and recover so you can continue to live and lead better. Cheers.